Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I am Jesse Alexander. Jen, thank you so much for the introduction. I'm reminded of a time when I introduced a pastor who was like a guest pastor, and I just completely like blew it. And very graciously, he got up and he said, "Of all the introductions I have received, that one is the most recent." I was like, anyway, but thank you. I'm Jesse Alexander. I'm one of the pastors at a place called we call it Love First Coast. First Coast Missional Communities is our official name, but I would sometimes talk with people about it, and they'd share about First Coast Missional Communities, and they couldn't ever get it right. You know, this is Jesse Alexander. He's from the First Coast Missionary Church down on the corner or something like that. So anyway, Love First Coast, it kind of says what we're about and what we do. And just a quick explanation about it, we really try to foster missional communities. We try to encourage those kind of communities to come into place. What is a missional community? A good way of thinking about it is a missional community are worshiping fellowships on mission together. There you go. Worshiping fellowships on mission together. Discipleship is actually kind of at the heart of that, and that's something I'm particularly passionate about. I also just want to say it's great to be here. One of the purposes for Love First Coast is to encourage and equip folks who are living life on mission. And so if that's something that kind of fits where you are, hey, I think I see Jessica and Chris over there. All right. Anyway, to encourage and equip folks who are living life on mission, maybe y'all can relate to that, okay? Maybe you guys can relate to that. Because, you know, life on mission can be kind of hard. And by the way, that's also one of our values at Love First Coast is to bless churches. I just want to say, I hope today that the words I share would be, by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, encouraging to you as a church in your life on mission together. Okay? I'm really grateful for Mandarin Prez. A lot of you don't know it, but I've been here off and on for about 8 years. I'm often sitting kind of over there these days, sometimes back there at the traditional service. My wife's mother lives in town now. We bring her to worship. She loves the hymns at the traditional service, and that's a part she can really participate in, so we come there. I used to come to this service pretty regularly. Hadn't been here in a while, but again, we sat over there because that's what you're supposed to do in church. You sit in roughly the same place, right? Am I right? But I am really grateful for Mandarin Presbyterian Church. During some particularly rough seasons in my life, in my ministry, personally also, people at Mandarin really stepped in and were very helpful to us, blessed us. I consider the pastors here to be not just colleagues, but they have been friends. They have proven to be friends. Mandarin has blessed us in so many ways. Me, my family, I'm especially grateful that this church thought that youth ministry was important enough and that children's ministry was important enough that they open it up to others. Keep that going. Because you invested in two of my children. I am really grateful for Mandarin Presbyterian Church. Love this church. Love this church. And so, one of the things I love about Mandarin is I have found encouragement here for that missional thing I do. Now, if you're wondering what missional is about, that word missional, it just means that God has a mission and we're swept into it. I mean, sometimes people think about that the other way around. They think, okay, we have a church and the church has a mission for God. No. The mission belongs to God, and He invites us into it. God has a mission, and He's bringing it about, and He says, come on, join me. And so, for example, part of God's mission in redeeming things, in setting things right, turning graves into gardens, was that a good song, y'all? Should we just like, I'll stop, let's sing it again. No, okay, all right. People are hungry, right? So part of God's purpose, part of God's mission is to make sure that hungry people have food. And so a response to that is to say, okay, well, let's start a food pantry. serve there, you know, work there. If you do, you're joining God in his mission. Same sort of thing with youth and children's ministry. I believe God wants, part of God's mission, God's desire, God's plan, what God is doing is he is helping another generation come to be followers of Jesus and to know him. That's part of God's will. We're going to join him in that or not. That's the question for followers of Jesus. And when we say yes, we're joining God in his mission. That whole, slogan around here, you love people to love Jesus. Sometimes I turn it around in my head and I think, is that love Jesus to love people or is it love people to love Jesus? I think that's an okay one to get confused about, by the way. Just think about that. But Jesus loves people. Can I get an amen on that one? Whew, that's pretty good. First service might have done that a little bit better than y'all, though, just want to say. Anyway, Jesus loves people. He commands us to love our neighbor because he thinks it matters that people know that they are loved. When you say yes to loving your neighbor, you are joining God in his mission. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. If you didn't know that, you need to hear that Jesus loves you. That's important. Jesus loves your neighbor more than you do. If you say yes, you join in that mission. If you say no, Jesus still loves your neighbor. Jesus may even take some extraordinary steps to make sure that your neighbor finds out. But you'll miss out on God's glory. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. I think I was supposed to say welcome to everybody, welcome, and to the people online. And I had colleagues at work who said they wanted a shout out, and his name is Derek. So, Derek, shout out to you. I want to invite you, if you would, please. No, I forgot what I was supposed to say. All right. I'm going to talk about Isaiah 6 real quick, God's glory. Isaiah 6, Presbyterian worship, God's glory. Isaiah finds himself in the temple, has a vision of God. God is seated on the throne. Angels are flying, calling back, forth, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah says, I am ruined because I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among people of unclean lips. Basically, I'm a sinner. I live among a bunch of sinners. And then the angel goes to the altar, takes the coal from the altar. Altars where sacrifices were altered, where God's grace was really delivered to his people. They take the coal and touches Isaiah's lips and says, this has touched your lips. I've taken away your sin. And then Isaiah hears God saying, who will go for us? You know, who's going to go? Isaiah says, here am I. Send me. Now, I love that because it starts with the glory of God. When we find ourselves in God's presence, when our eyes are open to God's glory, that's one of the things that's prayed for a lot before worship services, that we would be aware that we're in the presence of God. When our eyes are opened to God's glory, that's a good place to go forth into mission. I hope this morning during the songs you got a sense again of God's greatness, of God's glory. I hope you know also that God's grace is extended to you, and I hope that you are hearing God's invitation to be a part of his work and that you say yes. Okay, so that's all I'm hoping for in this morning's worship service. So with that in mind, I want to talk about some guys who got a picture of God's glory when they're on a boat. So please stand. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 8, picking up at verse 23. All right, so then Jesus, it's about Jesus, when he got into a boat with, and then Jesus got into a boat and his disciples followed him. Just pay attention to that. They followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and they asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Storm stories. I love storm stories. Storm stories. They make movies about storms, right? Perfect Storm. Storms come. They hit all sorts of places at inconvenient times, right? A storm will hit a city, right? And sometimes the storm that follows the physical storm that hit the city is worse than the physical storm, right? Storms also can hit churches. Hit churches when you don't expect it. Pastor retires, pastor leaves, challenges arise. You ever hear anything like that happening in churches? Storms hit churches. I pastor Love First Coast, added it up this week. If we all get together at a worship gathering, the ones that I expect to come, there's lots of people who are kind of like walking with us, some who are actually walking closely with us, that walking closely with us group, if we all show up together at the same place for a worship service, there are about 27 of us. One of the things I like about having a small group like that is the storms don't seem to hit quite so hard, but they still hit. Storms hit churches of all kinds and all sizes. You can't avoid it. A storm has hit Manor Press, It's been a storm here, right? Storms don't just hit organizations, though. I mean, of course they hit businesses. Of course, they can hit regions. But the storms that we feel the most are usually the ones that hit close to home. A storm can hit a family. Storms hit families with a phone call or a diagnosis. Or somebody who didn't make it home on time. Storms hit marriages. Man, if you've not known that, you hadn't paid attention, right? Most everybody who's been married for any length of time, Heather and I will have been married 30 years this year. Kind of excited about that. But we've had a few storms. That's part of what happens in marriages. Some people observe that, and they decide, I don't want to get married. I've seen what those storms look like. I understand. Because storms come. Storms also can hit our bodies. They hit our minds. They can hit our souls, our spirits. And some of those storms can be small and easily managed. Sometimes, they're terrifying. Storms come. We can relate. I can relate. How'd these disciples get in this storm anyway? Verse 23. Then he got in the boat and his disciples followed him. Jesus, his disciples followed Jesus, and that put them into a terrifying storm. How's that sit with you? There's no place safer than at the center of God's will. Quote that to the guys who are terrified on the boat. God will never give you more than you can handle. God will never give you more than he can handle. And he can handle a bit more than us. Storms come and they terrify us. And I would like to think when I'm in a storm, because sometimes this is true, I would like to think when I'm in a storm that the reason I'm in a storm is because I wasn't smart enough, or maybe I just sinned a little bit, and this is just kind of the ramifications of my sin coming down. And so then it's an easy lesson. I did this. It caused this. Won't do that again. It'll be just fine. But we're supposed to follow Jesus. If you did not know, we are supposed to follow Jesus. All right. Jesus calls his disciples. He says, follow me. All right, y'all can say that. Jesus calls his disciples, he says, and they did, right into a storm that was terrifying. And not just any storm. I think we have a slide for this storm. It's a mega storm. Matthew 8, Mark uses the same words. By the way, this passage shows up in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, the synoptic gospels. A little bit of differences between the three of them. Worth the time and study, I want to say. The mega storm, it showed up. The word for storm is seismos, which I'm a structural engineer, and that's an odd choice for words for a storm, but I would really be digressing if I unpacked that. So I'll just say it was a storm, and it was a, next word, easy, mega storm. It was a mega storm. Most of us get that word mega just fine. It's the adjective for this storm, a really big storm. It is a storm that is so big. It's a storm that was so big. Thank you very much. It was so big that it terrified professional fishermen. All right, so, I mean, get this. If you're going to be facing storms, you know you're going to face a storm. You want to have a sturdy boat, and you want to have capable professionals, right? Who would be more capable than people who had spent their life on that particular body of water in boats? That's who is terrified of this storm, where the fishermen call on the rabbi for help in a sea storm. It's a really big storm. Sea of Galilee, kind of interesting. It's about 14 miles long, about 8 miles wide, 141 feet deep. If you get winds going up and down the long axis, you can get some pretty good waves with deep water. And it's a small body of water with small boats. So you have big waves, small boat, terrified fishermen. When the professionals become afraid, you know there's a problem, right? You know there's a problem. They were afraid, and they call on Jesus in the middle of this fisherman-frightening storm, but Jesus is sleeping, which kind of goes to point out that Jesus was not really worried or he was really exhausted. Pick your theory. The scholars can't decide amongst themselves, so just call yourself a scholar and choose. Was he tired or was he not worried? Doesn't matter. He's totally asleep. He's Jesus. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. Lord, save us. A mega storm. Jesus is asleep. It's fitting that they would call on the Lord to save us. I think there's a slide up for that has the words of Matthew 8:18. This is actually where the story starts. Matthew 8:18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. So not only did they follow Jesus into the lake, Jesus ordered them. Sorry, I keep calling it the lake, the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. He ordered them into the Sea of Galilee on a little boat. Other passages tell us that there were other small boats that were there too. So it's not just the disciples. There's other people who are caught in this storm obeying Jesus' orders. That's how they got into this storm. Kind of interesting. Another quick aside. There's two guys where Matthew puts this story. One says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I bet he did not follow Jesus. Let's point out, if he did not follow Jesus, he's safe on the shore. Another disciple said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. That's not saying my father has died. I want to go to the funeral. That's actually a euphemism for saying, I'm going to continue to maintain the business in the family home until my father dies. It could be a long time. And Jesus says to him, let the dead bury their dead. You follow me. I wonder what he did. I wonder what he did. Because in the middle of the storm, if he said yes and he followed Jesus, he's in the middle of the storm. And I bet he's thinking, why didn't I just go back home where mom told me I should have stayed anyway? And here I am, I'm about to die in a storm. You ever felt like you got hoodwinked by Jesus? You followed him and you were led into something you didn't expect to find yourself in. That's where they were. So Jesus wakes up and he says, you of little faith, why are you afraid? A little more on that, your little faith. I've heard that used kind of in a disparaging way more than a time or two. Often the form that takes is, well, where is your faith anyway? A really sharp rebuke. And oftentimes the people who ask that question will point back to a verse like this, but, you know, you need more faith. You need more faith. Well, I just want you to know that the Greek word there is oligopistoi. I might have said that wrong, oligopistos. Anyway, it's one word. The best translation for that one word would be little faiths, little faiths. And the spirit of little faiths is kind of like when I was a teenager. I have a big brother. His name is Joe. When I was a teenager, I would do something kind of not very smart. And he would say to me, you big dummy, what were you thinking? Now, you big dummy, it admitted that I had an intelligence problem at that particular moment in time. But it was not cruel or mean or disparaging. It was just, Jesse, okay. Little faiths. Little face. Can you relate? Can you relate to being a little face? You know, I can relate. I struggle with faith sometimes. I just want you to know, if you find yourself in the middle of a terrifying storm, Jesus will not talk about your faith in disparaging tones. Jesus loves you. I heard that earlier in this message. He loves you. And if you're in the middle of the storm, he knows that. He is not going to beat you up in the middle of a storm, because he is a good shepherd. He'll care for you there. Why were you afraid? You had me in the boat. You see, the disciples up to this point, the way Matthew tells it, they'd heard Jesus teach, they'd seen him draw crowds, they'd seen him heal, they'd seen him do amazing things for other people, but they had not desperately needed Jesus yet. But they do now, because they are in a megastorm. They are afraid for their lives. Rabbi, please save us. And he gets up and he rebukes the wind, he rebukes the waves, and then it is, this translation says, completely calm. The Greek is, next slide, mega calm. Mega calm. From the mega storm to the mega calm at a word. From waves coming over the side to, okay, I think we can go water skiing now. Calm. And then the disciples are looking at each other. They were just terrified about the storm. And now they're wondering, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And in Mark's gospel, there's a third mega in Mark's telling. It is, they were mega afraid. They had a mega fear. Don't know how you feel about the fear of God. There's a friend of mine who actually was in one of my churches and told me one of the things she liked about the church was that we didn't talk about the fear of God, so she didn't ever feel like she had to be afraid of God. And I don't feel like we should be afraid of the God who loves us either. But that didn't mean we shouldn't fear God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that begins when we realize who's in the boat with us, that Jesus is bigger than the storm. Mandarin Presbyterian Church, he's bigger than the storm you find yourself in. He's bigger. I remember 2011, I was on a mission trip to Nicaragua, an overseas mission trip. You can look at the story kind of like an overseas mission trip. They go across the Sea of Galilee to deal with some people in a cemetery, demons, pigs. You can read the rest of the story. in Nicaragua. I was in the middle here of a personal and professional and financial storm like I'd never been in before. I was terrified in the sense that I was completely out of ideas. I'd turn to people for help, and that did not work out so well sometimes too. And I was in Nicaragua going, what do we do now? And part of what we did that week was we went to a Nicaraguan soccer game, City of Esteli, about 30,000 people, mostly from Esteli, almost all from Esteli and our little mission group. And the team from Esteli was playing this traveling Korean Christian team, which was kind of interesting in itself. I don't know who they were associated with, but at halftime, the Koreans got out there, this Korean soccer team got out there, and they started doing this little dance number, like, okay, to a song that was kind of like a children's song in English. We were in Nicaragua. The song was about a great big God. That was interesting. I remember thinking, somebody blew it. They put the wrong track in. They should have had the Spanish version of the song playing, right? Well, later that night, back at the hotel, I was in the bathroom because, it was a mission trip. I needed to be there. Didn't want to be there. But let me say, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, okay? But I was sitting there for a good long time. And I was thinking back over the day, and that particular incident came to mind, and I was like, yeah, it was just a big mistake. And I really felt the Lord impressing on me sort of some questions. Well, Jesse, did you notice what that song was? Great Big God? Yeah, they really blew it. Should have been in Spanish. Why was that in English? Were you and the 30 to 50 other English fluent speakers who can understand sung English? I don't know. Jesse, anybody in that crowd need to know that I'm a great big God? You know, a lot of times as a pastor, I had helped people process experiences that they were having and helped them to see how, you know, connect the dots, how God was intervening. And I needed it that night. Jesus loves you. He is bigger than the storm. And in the presence of the glory of God, it's the right time to be mega afraid in the best possible way. And just say, if that wasn't enough, the next night we went to this Young Life Club, is Young Life in Nicaragua, Vida Joven. And the topic of that talk was about David and Goliath. And sometimes you don't need to tell God how big your problem is. You need to tell your problem how big your God is. And that's a lesson we learn in a storm. That's a lesson we learn when our eyes are opened and we realize that we're in the presence of the glory of God, and He is far bigger than any storm we face. So let me wrap up with this a little bit. Anybody here been in a storm? Been through a storm? Maybe you're in one right now. In Luke's gospel, by the way, we hear in English, right? Translated from Greek. The Greek was translated probably from Aramaic or Hebrew. Luke's gospel, his choice for Jesus' title is Master. Rabbi, one translation of Rabbi really is my master. Master, don't you care that we're about to drown? Think master, apprentice. Think Jesus the master shaping us as his apprentices to be more like him. That's what a rabbi does. What is the master asking you to do? Do you trust him to shape you? Do you trust Him to shape you to be who He wants you to be through that instruction? Will you trust Him? Mark's choice is teacher. Teacher, that's another valid translation of rabbi. So what is the teacher, Jesus, teaching you? What has He taught you in those storms? What's He teaching you in the storm you might be in right now? And Luke's choice? Nope, once more, I keep giving this to Luke. Matthew's choice is Lord, Kurios. Kurios. Now, Kurios is a word that can be translated all sorts of ways, from sir to sovereign. And I would suggest that for the disciples in the boat, Jesus was moving to sir, respectful term, to sovereign, one who is greater than the storms that come our way. How is God showing you that He is sovereign over all the different storms you have faced and are facing? Because I just want to challenge you as a church. Jesus is bigger than the storms. Trust Him. Trust Him in this particular storm as a church. Trust Him because He's training you. Think about those disciples. Did they ever face any other storms? Maybe crucifixion. How about the resurrection? How about persecutions? Did they need to know that Jesus was greater and bigger than the storm? Did He, as sovereign master and teacher, have something in mind that maybe He was preparing them for? Far greater than just a ride across the Sea of Galilee. So please, church, trust the Lord. Trust Jesus. Love people to love Jesus. Don't stop doing that. And remember His glory. Put yourself in the places where your eyes can be opened and you can see in a fresh and new way the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm going to pray. Can I pray? Okay. Father God, I thank You for Your grace. Holy Spirit, I thank You for the ways that You have worked here. Lord Jesus, I thank You for the way and praise You for the way that You have been honored here at Mandarin Press. And God, I just want to pray for the season ahead that You would bless this congregation, bless the leadership, bless the searches that are going on, that You would move in such a way that You are glorified, and we all collectively bless Your holy name. Amen.